The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. The conversation about Jesus' suffering and death is enclosed in a dazzling of foreshadowing of the resurrection. God affirms Jesus' identity. The disciples are stunned speechless, and Jesus resumes his mission with a demonstration of his power over evil. I begin reading at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I beg your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A husband was trying to convince his wife that this year for their vacation that they spend it hiking up in the mountains. The wife wasn't so sure about that. Oh, they both enjoyed going on day hikes. They enjoyed going to state parks and different places, but this would be the first time that they would be going for an extended hike and also carrying a 50-pound backpack. And the wife wasn't convinced this was a good idea. But what did convince her was the husband had pictures of the trail that they were going to be going on, and he showed those pictures of a beautiful forest with huge trees, massive trees, also with cascading waterfalls and clear mountain streams, pictures of wildlife that might be along the trail, and then pictures of wonderful panoramic views from on top of the mountains. And it convinced her. And they went. They had a wonderful time, but there were times when it was very difficult. It was steep climbs sometimes. Sometimes it was over rough ground and they would stumble. Sometimes it was those beautiful scenic pictures or scenery that they did see. And what kept her going was those ideas of what they would see and what they would bring back home. Our journey of faith is much like that too. There's times when we see the glory of God shining around us, maybe from a mountaintop experience. Maybe it's from going on a retreat or maybe summer camp of some sort, or maybe through a worship service, or maybe while you were doing devotionals, or maybe there's those times too where you know of God's presence in your life, that he touches you in a special way. Or maybe you've seen him perform miracles, maybe for that person who was not well and was not expected to get well, but the doctor told them then, finally, that the disease is gone. We have those times when we know that God is certainly present with us. But much of our lives is just day to day. And we know that God is with us, but it's not so exciting. Sometimes it's even very tough to go through our life following Christ in that journey. For the disciples in our gospel lesson this morning, it was much that same way. Jesus had just told them that he was going to be heading to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem that he would be suffering many things, that he would die and on the third day be raised again. The disciples didn't want to hear it. They tried to talk him out of going to Jerusalem. They were confused. Why would he go there? Why would he suffer so many things? They did not understand. But then comes this experience, this transfiguration, where Jesus takes them up on the mountain to pray. Jesus is transfigured. He's changed. The glory of God shines through him. And there's also the two most, some of the most important people in the Bible, Moses and Elijah. Moses, the lawgiver. Elijah, the prophet from God, speaking with Jesus. It's a picture of the assurance that the disciples needed to see in order to face the things ahead for them. Not only to face what Jesus would have to go through in the cross and the resurrection, but also the times after that. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they could look back on this scene, this transfiguration, and also on the other signs that Jesus had performed, and know that they are on the right track. This transfiguration was an affirmation that Jesus is doing what he needs to be doing, and the disciples need to be following him. It was an affirmation of their faith. It was an affirmation that Jesus is doing what they need, what he needs to do. And so they would be ready to follow Jesus wherever he went, even if that meant going to Jerusalem and suffering many things, dying on the cross, and then being raised again. For us, sometimes it's hard to follow Christ in his journey. We do have those mountaintop experiences, those times when we just absolutely know for sure that God is there and that God has touched our lives in wonderful ways. But other times we struggle. We struggle. There may be stumbling blocks in our way. Sometimes it's hard to, maybe you've done something for someone who needs some help, and they don't even bother to say thank you. Or maybe someone has done something wrong against you, and you want to forgive them, but they're not ready to be forgiven, and they hold that guilt within inside of them. Or maybe you've done something to someone else, and you ask for forgiveness, but they're not ready to forgive. It gets tough in our faith. What's it? Why should we follow Christ if none of this seems to be working? But yet, we see those glimpses. We know that Christ is alive and well in our hearts, and we continue on in our journey. Consider the story that follows right after this transfiguration. Jesus and the disciples come down from the mountain, and the first thing they see is trouble. There's an evil spirit in a young boy, and the father's terribly upset. Jesus has compassion, and he heals the young boy. He cast out that evil spirit within that boy. For us, we live in a real world. We live in a world where we see tragedy. We see hurt. We see pain. We have those things ourselves in our lives. And sometimes we get pulled in so many directions, it's hard to follow Christ in our journey. As I mentioned in the announcements today, during our midweek Lenten services, we'll be seeing several different videos of speakers who spoke at the North North American Lutheran Church convention this summer. And they speak very much to the heart of this matter of Christians who are very much struggling and have to have a commitment to their faith. And because they have a commitment to their faith, they are being displaced or they are being murdered. They are being martyred for their faith. Sometimes it's very difficult to hang on to what we have in Christ. Sometimes there are stumbling blocks on the long way. There's things that pull us away. But we look back and we see those important times in our lives when Christ has touched us. For the disciples, they remembered this transfiguration event, that event where Jesus shone with the glory of God. And that voice that came out from heaven, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." We have that moments too, where we need to stop and we need to listen for Christ. To have that assurance, to see that direction in our lives. Because it's not only that end that we see. This transfiguration is a kind of foreshadowing of what is yet to come, of who Jesus truly is and what he's going to be and do. But it's also a foreshadowing for us too. That we do have a goal set in mind. That we too, one day, will be transfigured into the likeness of Christ. We too will shine with the glory of God. But yet we're still on that journey. And as we live in that journey, we continue to follow Christ. We continue to do what he calls us to do. And hopefully too, we will never waver from that journey of faith. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.